wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey. My message is on stubborn facts. The devil is a great arguer, and he will play his game with anyone who will spar with him, and he always wins. But that old serpent flees before the stubborn facts of divine revelation. That is why our Lord Jesus met Satan's arguments with the Word of God. It is written. The Holy Bible is denounced and kicked out of our colleges today. How strange! Since the Bible has such a record, blessing people with light and liberty, and establishing principles of righteousness for our national, family, and personal lives that are the basis of every sound economy, is it that our educators have deliberately chosen darkness rather than light, and evil rather than God? We ask, what is the matter with the Bible? Their answer comes like this. That ancient book is so insistent, so dogmatic, it just says that's it and tolerates no argument or debate. I answer, that's true, blessedly true. Man, because of his very limited knowledge, writes in uncertainty and would not dare to show finality. But the Bible is God's word. Its sacred pages are dotted with, "Thus saith the Lord." And when God speaks, that is final. That ends the matter. It allows no debate, and the ages will never uncover one fact that can challenge God's word. Man advances theories, but God declares facts. God is omniscient. He knows everything. God is infallible. He can never be mistaken. So the very insistence of the Bible is another proof that man did not make it up, but it is indeed the very word of God. And God cannot lie, and the scriptures cannot be broken. The word of the Lord endureth forever. It is indestructible before the findings of scientists, the arguments of infidels, and the testings of the ages. If the Bible were a book of fables, then its language would be different. But it is a book of facts, and facts are stubborn things. They will not move, nor allow any compromise, but they insist that all shall bow to them. Today, our youths are schooled in tolerance for everything, but God's truth is intolerant. It must be so because it's God's, and second, because it's truth. We will then consider stubborn facts that do not bend to man's opinions, but contemptuously ignore all of men's speculations, stubborn facts that everyone, you and I and the next one, must eventually yield to. Believe it or not believe it, the fact remains. Nothing can change it. Oh, the majesty of divine revelation, God's word. When I was just a boy, my father took me to Maine. I stood on that rocky coast and watched the huge ocean waves come in. Proudly they came. Had not they tossed big ships like a toothpick and even buried many a one? As they approach the rocks, they rise, oh so big, as if boastfully to throw out their chests. What could stop them? With a roar like a lion, they strike the rocks. What happens? The rocks did not move, nor even tremble, but the waves were broken to pieces. Part went up in a spray, and part turned down its head to the bottom and sucked away back into the ocean, defeated, smashed on those immovable rocks. And if they could speak to the oncoming waves, they would say, "You will crash as we did on those stubborn rocks." If Voltaire, Ingersoll, and other infidels could return to earth, they would tell the profane professors and the young modernist preachers of our day, "Son, don't be a fool. You will smash as we have done before God's irresistible truth, and you will bow in the dust at the feet of Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all." Day and night, year in and year out, those rocks win the victory and still stand immovable. And so it is with the Bible. It stands while assailing infidels, cartoonists, scientists, and liberalists lick the dust in defeat before the stubborn facts of that divine book. What are some of those facts? Here is one. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. This fact was asserted by a lone captive as he stood in the court of a world king. It was uttered before the king and his wise men who worshiped images and mortal men. There is a God in heaven, and with him you have to do. This is a fact. It needs no argument to establish it. It stands because there is a God in heaven. Your rebellion will not dethrone the living God, nor will your unbelief relieve you of facing him in the day of judgment. There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets. What does that mean? Daniel proved to that heathen king that his God was the living God by revealing the secret of the king's dream. And you have a secret closet too, which you alone hold the key. It is your heart, and boastfully you say, "Nobody knows what's in my heart." You have made it your safe deposit box, and in it you have hidden your passionate lusts and greedy desires. In it you have kept your hate, your schemes, ambitions, your hidden idols, and secret motives. You locked them up well, and now you hear there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. You try to comfort yourself. Certainly he can't see me from way up there. You will have to learn with the psalmist that God is one who knows your thoughts afar off. In his book, the Bible, he has unlocked your heart. He brings all to the light. It is no longer a hidden secret. God tells everyone that your heart is desperately wicked and that your thoughts are only evil continually. Truly, there's a God in heaven that reveals secrets. But there's another secret. It is in the heart of God. What is in God's heart? Who knows? For 4,000 years of human history, that secret was unknown. It was noticeably seen by angels that God was kind to men, and he did them good. He was a merciful and thoughtful creator and sustainer, giving men life and breath in all things. But one day, from the very bosom of God, came there forth his Son to reveal the great secret of God's heart. At Calvary's cross, the great secret of God's heart was revealed. God loves sinners. Angels beheld in wonder. What? Love those wicked sinners? Angels saw a signboard written not with the pen of Pilate, but written with the finger of God, written not with ink, but with the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. And here's what it said: "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It is no longer a secret. The blood of Christ reveals it. The fact stands. God loves sinners. God loves you. God loves me. And now for another of those stubborn Bible facts. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. There is one mediator. But some say, our church teaches us that we must pray to Mary to mediate for us. The Bible truth is as stubborn with churches as it is with infidels. It will not change. There is one mediator, not two, one mediator, the man Christ Jesus, not a woman, but the man. Not some dead saint, nor some living priest, no, nor rabbi, nor preacher, nor pope. There is one mediator, the man Christ Jesus. No church and no religion can change it. Only the Christ of Calvary can be this to you, as the Bible says. Christ hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And now we consider another of those stubborn Bible facts. It says, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This one stings you. It awakens your conscience and it smashes your pride. You rebel, for you won't have it that way. Oh, how I used to fight that verse. I was outwardly so different from others, but God showed me what I was inwardly. Some live and die fighting this fact, to one day face their sins at God's righteous judgment, and then they will acknowledge the fact that there is no difference. Others, as I did, own up to their sins and in repentance take the lowest place, and then they find in Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. The fact still stands, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We pass on to more. There is wrath. Beware. lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. There is wrath, whether you believe it or not. The greatest prophet that ever lived cried, flee from the wrath to come. Neighbor, it is true that God loves you, but he hates your sin, and he must judge it. He must take vengeance and not pass it by. He has been good to you in this life, but you have despised God's goodness and have not repented of your sins. God gave his son to save you, but you've turned him down. You will not surrender to him as your Lord, nor trust him as your Savior. You have rejected God's son, and now his wrath you must know forever. You wanted your sins instead of God's son, and you shall have them. And as the Bible says, you shall experience. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. There is wrath. Believe it now. Don't wait till the heavens blaze with fire. Don't wait till you awake in the flames. Flee from the wrath to come. But if you ask, whither shall I flee? This brings us to our last Bible fact. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Neighbor, there's only one place of safety, only one shelter from the coming storm of God's wrath. It is not in the church, but in Christ Jesus. Flee from the wrath to come to Jesus, the only one who can shelter sinners from the wrath of a sin-hating God. And as you flee, cry, Lord Jesus, I'm a lost and wicked sinner, and I deserve God's wrath. In my distress and in my repentance, I call on thee to save and shelter me from God's eternal judgment. Thou art my only hope, my Lord and my Savior. That blessed Savior will welcome you, and you will know that this Bible fact will stand while ages roll on. There is no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, my neighbor, flee, flee, and don't stop till you get to Jesus, and know that you are in Christ Jesus. As the old hymn says, in Jesus I'm safe evermore. Amen. Soon for you and for me, these scenes of earth shall pass, and time shall be no more, and we shall all be in the great forever eternity. Then all will be brought into the light of God's presence, and you and I will see that these Bible revelations are indeed stubborn facts, so stubborn neither life nor death, things present nor things to come, could change them. There they are, just as the Bible declared them. Oh, my neighbor, believe God's word and show God that you believe him by truly repenting of your many sins and turning to Jesus Christ, his Son, to be your Lord and Savior, to trust him, to love him, and to serve him from this day forward. May God grant it. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.